We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Thursday, September 18th. I am Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
And I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015.
Yeah, and it was an eventful weekend.
It was a fantastic weekend.
Yeah.
West Ham got absolutely slaughtered, and I don't care.
Hey, that's how you know it's a good weekend.
and against our rivals, too. Like, we got punched in the mouth by the Spuds, and I don't care. Great weekend.
Yeah. I love how that all transpired. That's crazy to me. What could be said about this game that hasn't already been said?
That my blood pressure is back to normal.
That's true.
That was an all-time game. I was listening to the radio on my way home earlier, and that was one where, like, it doesn't matter, like, A&M fan, Notre Dame fan, football fan in general, it's like great ratings. Everybody in the country was watching that game. And the product couldn't have been more entertaining if you weren't an A&M or Notre Dame fan, because it was stressful if you're a fan of one of those two schools.
Yeah.
But just a slug match back and forth against what I still think is a good Notre Dame team. I think we said this at the beginning of the season. I thought they were a little overrated just because of what they lost. And I still think they're a good team. They're probably going to win out just because they have nothing on the rest of their schedule. I mean, there's some names, but they stink, like Stanford.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, Stanford. I mean, did you see the video from Stanford's like home game the other day that was posted? I mean, there's nobody there. I mean, that's what happens when you sell out to go to the Atlantic for a conference and you're on the West Coast. Like, make all of that make sense. Them and Cal running off that direction never made any sense to me. But then again, the whole Pac-12 falling apart didn't make much sense either. But,
well, I think it's also fair to say, though, that Stanford is in football, they're like we are with basketball. Like, you got to win for people to come, you know, put butts in the seats.
It's true.
If you're not, there are a million other things that Stanford people would rather be doing.
Well, and outside of Cal, I mean, you've lost all other regional rivals and all that fun jazz. I mean,
so many things were lost with all this realignment. And not that I was staying up late to watch Pac-12, you know, after dark. For the rivalries, I mean,
but it's fun.
That's one of those where they've got to both be good for me to watch it, kind of things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not watching something that kicks off at 10 p.m. local. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not happy. But yeah, what an absolute game. Kind of edge of your seat kind of football game. Fantastic performances from multiple people, which made us able to overcome 13 penalties and, a punt block for a touchdown, and just it felt like most of the things that could go wrong, and some of them self-inflicted, did go wrong, and still able to win the game. The poise and moxie of Marcel Reed coming in, like, kickoff return gets called back, which ends up being advantageous, because even if we go down and if we score, all they've got to do is bleed clock and kick a field goal. So it's kind of one of those things that works out well. It's just in retrospect, but just comes on the field, no nonsense, leads the team down the field, ding, 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 ding. You start getting a little antsy about it. You know, a couple of balls had to get thrown away. I thought when he scrambled to get the first down, that was on that final drive. It was almost like a turning point emotionally of watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you know what? I still think we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And then to throw that strike, and to make that read progression, you know, because they said it, that play was set up for KC, and then, you know, he had to read, you know, that wasn't there, Craver wasn't there, and then he knew he had a tight end on a backer.
Yep.
And these are the kind of things that we want to see. Like, we've talked about it. We want to see growth from year one to year two, right?
Right.
That's a lot of growth in one play. Like, that is absolute proof that he is growing in his progressions and his just ability as a quarterback.
So this game reminded me a lot of Alabama in 22. Do you remember that one? Okay. Just the concept of you come down to the final play and you're at the goal line. What does that play look like? How is the poise of the quarterback? How's the hold? I mean, how clutch can you be? And I love what I saw out of Marcel Reed in that moment. Over the course of the game, if we go down the stats, which I mean, if you look at his completion percentage, it's not where we want it to be. If you look
That's
at what, yeah, if you
be
look at
like
what happened defensively on that side of the ball, they largely did a good job of containing Love by comparison. I think, he gained a lot of yardage, but it wasn't, I mean, he only scored a single touchdown. Like you did a good job in that containment there. But it certainly felt like between that, penalties, and everything else going on in this ball game that these are the type of games we don't win. I feel like it's been said time and time again. These are the type of games A&M does not win. And you want it.
Yeah, I thought Elko's quote the post game, just the on field post game, was perfect. And I was thinking about his quote, having to kick down the door, and I relate it back to being in the infantry, right? You can't clear a building until you kick down the door,
Right.
right? You got to get in the building. And what we were able to do was take that first step and breach the doorway. And now, and if you want to keep on with the analogy, I mean, clearing a building, it's rigorous. It's not just one room. There's a lot to do. SEC schedule is rigorous. It's
It
not
is.
just one or two people left on your schedule you got to worry about. There's a lot of quality in the SEC, and we'll get into that in a little bit.
For
But
sure.
I was impressed. I think we talked about, how many total rushing yards did they have? 136.
Yeah, not nearly as many as you would thought.
Yeah, I think we said last week that if we can keep them as a whole under 150, I feel really good about our chances, right? And they scored 40 points, so take 7 of those off. So they scored 33 offensively because of
Yes,
special
because,
teams touchdown.
yeah, kick return.
I think CJ Carr is going to be a good quarterback. It's
Yeah.
something that we saw in the Miami game. We literally saw it, like him maturing before our eyes from drive to drive.
Yeah.
I think we touched on it. That last drive that he had, to score a touchdown against Miami. Yeah, their defense couldn't hold up on the back end, but that was a mature quarterback drive.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a good one for Notre Dame. I do.
I think he's going to be a good quarterback for sure. Looking at the stats here, one thing that really did benefit us, of course, was this. I mean, overall, was the passing game. I mean, you're sitting here with 360 yards to their 293, and rushing yards were kind of negligible, right? I mean, we had 128; they had 147 yards rushing, on six more attempts, and we averaged about the same amount of yards per rush. Big difference was we were getting those big passes. We were getting those big key plays when we needed them. And my goodness, Mario Craver and Casey Concepcion, we've said it before on this podcast. It's going to be said many, many more times. This might be the best wide receiver tandem in the country.
Yeah, it's interesting. You look at the numbers. Obviously, Mario Craver leading the nation, which is bonkers. Last time since you've got for A&M since Mike Evans, and then before that, I don't know. But because we know both are talented, is this a situation where they're paying a little too much attention to Concepcion, and that's why Cravers is being able to produce the way he is?
Maybe.
And if that's the truth, if they shift it over to Craver, now you have to deal with Concepcion. You still have Bussey and the unique offensive plays that they have for him, like his package, basically. And
Yeah.
then you also have Bethel Roman, who they raved about all spring ball. We haven't seen much of him yet.
Not
So
yet.
there are more weapons. There are more weapons that we have that we haven't even scratched the surface on. So it's exciting to think of, Marcel Reed, like you said, going for 360. I was looking at some kind of advanced metrics. Little loose with the ball. There were, in theory, there were four turnover-worthy plays that weren't turnovers, but there were four turnover-worthy plays
Oh,
from
yeah.
Marshall. So that's a concern. He's got to clean that up because, I mean, obviously turnovers kill you, right? I mean, that's just the name of the game. Ask DJ Lagway. Yoinks. But, turnovers on the road in high stakes games But they're just even worse because you feel the fans, you feel the team. So I like where we're at as far as, forking up the ball, basically. We've done great with it so far. Obviously, we had two pretty easy tests, but, a bad read and a bad throw goes to a defender, no matter if, they're at Utah State or Notre Dame. So I, a little loose with a handful of passes, but, they didn't turn into them. Talking about a lot about the offense. Rolling back over the defense, you talk about the front seven, that they call them havoc plays. And our front seven created havoc on almost 13% of the plays, and Notre Dame was at 3%.
Pretty good.
That's a big difference when you
Yeah.
talk about, and Notre Dame's front seven is good. Like, they're not like they were last year, but they are still quality. We talked about this. Notre Dame is always going to have talent. The helmet recruits itself, the Golden Dome recruits itself. Notre Dame is never going to be bereft of talent. So that's talent in that front seven, and for our offensive line to be able to withstand what they were doing, basically, and then on the flip side of that, for our defensive front to be able to create that much havoc on, again, what are five really good offensive linemen, and when it's Notre Dame, you probably guess one or two of them are going to end up in the NFL because Notre Dame churns that stuff out. Would have liked to see more rushing yards,
Sure.
81 yards in great. Yeah, so it's when you talk about, like, if we're trying to pick this apart on the negative side, you hit on it. The completion percentages and what we want to see. And like running for less than 100 yards is kind of crazy. I mean, granted, we threw for 360. So it's, again,
I mean,
you're still.
we rushed 128 yards, but even then, it
Or excuse me,
wasn't.
Le'Veon Moss had 81. That's what it was. I'm sorry.
I would like
So,
to see more rushing yards out of him. Yes.
but what I will say is he was like, we saw this last year, fourth and one, third and one, set, like, simple, 1 yards, like 1 yard. And we talked about it ad nauseum last year. Like, if you can't get 1 yard, what are you doing, man? Right? And down on the goal line, offensive line does their job and mans up, hat on hat. Le'Veon Moss mans up and just wills his way into the end zone. He's three times. I'm complaining about how few yards he had, but I don't care. Like,
He's still
it's.
producing. Yeah, I mean, you're
I'm
scoring
trying to
the.
find the negatives. The negatives are really in the focus and the penalties,
Yes.
the miscues, and that's the kind of stuff. But I will say that's the kind of stuff that over the years have, torpedoed us, right? Yeah, that's the stuff that kills us in these big games that we're not winning. Well, we went on the road in a bit of a wine and cheese environment, honestly, a crap ton of Aggs. It was like
Ton.
the audio on TV was amazing. It
I
sounded like a
loved
bowl
it.
game, like they were 50-50 almost. But we went on the road, ranked opponent. We made a ton of mistakes, 13 penalties, had block punt, return for a touchdown, threw a pick, all these things going against us, and we still managed to win. And I think that says a ton about this team and a ton about the culture of this team and the culture that Mike Elko is really instilling at Texas A&M in this program. And so I'm not gonna sit here and berate a win.
No.
And we've got an extra week to enjoy it, and I'm going to. But these are small things that do need to be ironed out. It's turnover worthy plays kind of thing is a little concerning. But man, Mario Craver, Marcel Reed, like, those are dudes, man. Those are absolute dudes. And I wish Marcel would slide or run out of bounds a little bit more often. I think having this week, that was a physical game, man. And
Was.
so I think having this week to everybody, honestly, just kind of nurse, lick your wounds a little bit. That's a black and blue kind of game. You come out of it and you're just bruised up.
Man, and
So that's.
definitely want to say a quick thought for and prayer for our buddy Bryce Anderson. Granted, the reports seem to be good.
Yeah, I mean, he flew back with the team. That in and of itself is a great report. And obviously, I don't know exactly what he's dealing with. I mean, I've had concussions, but I've never, I've nothing like that's ever happened to me. Like, I've been knocked out cold, but it was good to see him give the gig him on his way out on the stretcher. Great to hear the official release come out that he came back with the team on the team flight. No, just no clue on how long it's going to be, for his return, but him playing football is a second concern, to his health.
Always,
A concern.
always. Did you get a chance to watch The Pulse this week already?
I have not yet.
I'll tell you this much. You talk about culture. on this podcast and having watched that, the culture of this team has shifted. These guys are mean. For lack of a better word, they went out there with the full intent of, we're going to punch you in the mouth, we're going to find a way to win this game, walk out of here with the dub, and they've found a way to get it. Once again, and not a perfectly executed game by any stretch of the imagination. You take away some of those penalties, you take away some of those other mistakes. I mean, right out the gate, one of the big talking points with this game goes back to the hold at the end of the game. Once again, we're not going to sit here and talk one way or the other about it, because the reality is penalties just happen, and or they don't.
Missed. Penalties get missed, all right? That's every game. And quite frankly, hey, Notre Dame, welcome to having SEC refs. They're awful.
Terrible. And case in point, the very first drive, we go down the field, very first play, get the first down on a rush, looking good. Go back for a pass. There's a holding call, which was one of the softest holding calls I've ever seen in my entire life. Kills that drive. And they block that ensuing kick for a return touchdown. I'd say it all came out in the wash just off of that one play.
If hold, I mean, you can say holding's subject like objective, but it's, I mean, holding rules are pretty clear. I mean, it's pretty simple.
They are.
But there's holding on every single play in
Every.
football, and we would all hate this sport if they called them all. Now, did one go our way? Yeah, you know what? It's about effing time something went our way in these big games. You know what? So
Exactly.
you can go cry and whine about this holding call, and then. And I've seen it all week with these people going back and forth with this Terry McCauley guy. And then people are going to come with receipts from the rest of the game and be like, yeah, what, like all these still photos. And they're going, what about this one? And what about that one? And what about that one? And he's just crying and whining. And I don't care. So that's it's something I've touched on this on the fan show. I'm so glad that we like Tex Aggs wasn't bombarded by like two or three threads that said, man, you guys are the nicest fan base ever. Thanks so much for visiting. And then basically saying take the L. Like there was reports that some Notre Dame fans sat around some Aggs that apparently were not very stately.
Sure.
You know what? I don't care. I'm
Well,
sick of being the nice guy that loses. Sick of being the nice guy that always takes it on the chin.
yeah, I mean, that is certainly something that has to change long term with this fan base. I mean, don't get me wrong, we are one of the most hospitable fan bases in the country, and we will continue to be that.
And I don't
But
want to be known as terrible travelers or like a trashy
no.
fan. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm just so sick of seeing those threads.
Well, my thought, and this is where my brain always goes. Be the most hospitable, wonderful people outside the stadium. The moment you walk into Kyle Field, it's 60 minutes of hell.
And then when it's done, thank him for coming.
Exactly. That's the way it should be every single time. You don't have to go full on LSU, Tiger bait, Tiger bait. You don't have to go around barking at people like Georgia fans. You don't have to do all that. No, I mean, somebody, well, I think we talked about it on the podcast a while back, but they said, if you're going to end some of these international games, like going over to Ireland or something, just send A&M and Georgia. Because between our goofy traditions and Georgia barking at people, all the Irish are going to be like, we don't want these people anymore. Keep them
They may
off
not
my
let us.
island.
Yeah, they may not let us
Yeah.
back.
My island! Kick us off. Get them out of here. That's the easiest way to eliminate that game, I think. But overall, happy with the win, of course. Happy
Oh,
that
exactly.
we, ecstatic that we won this one, that we got this one, because these are not the type of games we win. And if you want to change the outlook of your program long term, that's what you got to do. I mean, Elko's got what, three top 10 wins in 2 seasons already?
Dude, is he the dude? That's kind of that's starting to be a question that we can legitimately, I think, try to start answering because now we have data points. Like you
You
said,
have data
top
points.
10 wins broke through the road top 10 barrier.
Broke a record from 1979 in terms of, road non-con top tens.
It
We
was
hadn't
Pitt.
beaten one since Penn State in 19, what was it, 79?
I
Long
thought it was
time.
Pitt. I think it was Pitt.
Penn State.
No.
Regardless, doesn't really matter. The reality is things are changing.
Yeah,
And largely
things are
for the better,
changing.
I think.
Well, obviously for the better. I mean, that win is proof. Going back to the schedule a little bit. So,
Yes.
we talked about this. I've talked with people that have a different opinion on this. I like where this bye week is situated, especially knowing now, that we got the dub,
Yes.
and but also knowing how physical of a game that was, having an extra week to prep yourself before getting into conference play. You get to watch Auburn this week against Oklahoma, so you should get some really good tape on Auburn.
Should.
Because so far, who's Auburn played? Baylor?
Baylor.
Yeah. And what do we know about Baylor? I mean, I guess we'll know a little bit more this weekend because they're hosting Arizona State.
Yeah.
But how good is Arizona State? So there's, I mean, all the transitive properties in the world, there's no way to know. But OU is for real. So we're going to know more about Auburn after this week because OU is for real, and they're having to go to Norman to do it. And John Mathier is real, and that Oklahoma defense is real.
Which is such a weird dichotomy, right? I mean, we're so used to Oklahoma being the team that's gonna just blow you away with points, defense be damned, and all of a sudden they're running around with a defense. And you're like,
Yeah, they, they had, well, that's a Venables thing, right? I
yeah.
mean, that's what we expected when they hired him, was them for them to have, fantastic defense, and struggle on offense, as opposed to the Big 12 OU, where it's air it out, and if you can't score 70, you ain't beating us kind of thing.
Yeah, Stoops.
So I think Auburn, or not Auburn, excuse me, OU is going to show us a lot, because I think I think they're good because John Mathier is legit.
He's
Now,
looks great.
again, this could completely swing the other way this week,
It
and
could.
Auburn pulls into Norman and just sets the Sooner schooner on fire. So, I mean, it could happen.
It could.
But the line tells you that that's probably not going to happen. Again, the lines, you don't play it on paper, blah, 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 blah. But that's probably my favorite game this weekend
It's
is
gonna be a good
Auburn.
one.
But so we're coming off a bye, and Auburn's coming off what will be a tough game no matter what on the road at OU.
And then have to
And
go on the road here.
they've got to come on the road here. And we talked about it. Love the front end of the schedule being home, home, home. But then, we're gone until after Halloween, basically. So that is it's a tough schedule. But that second bye as well, I really love where that is. Where you have three straight road games, give them a week to come home and sleep in their bed, right? Like, don't be on the road for the weekend. That's a tough, tough stretch because it's Arkansas, then LSU. Both of those games are going to be physical. Getting a week to get everything together, and again, kind of lick your wounds a little bit just from the wear and tear of being on the road right before you go to not a hostile environment by any means, but a Missouri team that looks like Drinkwitz has got it together with them. Now, that's another one where I want to see a little bit more out of them before I crown Mizzou, the kings of the old East. But so where the buys are, I like it here. I know coming off a big win, you'd love to carry the momentum because you're kind of on fire. But I don't think there's like a massive amount of momentum right now because two of the three games you just played, you don't gain any momentum from beating them. Like the only thing you can do is have negative momentum. Like the only way those affect momentum is always negatively if you lose to them. So I think just where we're at as far as having played two incredibly lesser opponents. And having some questions from those games too, right? We had some questions about the run defense. We had some questions about not putting up enough offense, which is bonkers. And questions rolling into South Bend. And while we didn't answer every single one of those questions by any means, there's obviously enough improvement because if you're making those mistakes that you were making, with Utah State and UTSA, you make those exact same mistakes the way you made them against a team as talented as Notre Dame, they would have run us out of the stadium. So there's improvement in those areas, but now there's question marks in others. And the others one, part of it is discipline, and that's disconcerting. But having this bye week, and I'm gonna tell you right now, bro, I will donate to the program every week a folding chair if that's what Mike Elko needs. Straight up, I've already got two of them. He can have them and trash them, man. And I'll go buy a whole nother case, and I'll hand deliver them, up to Bright myself, because I absolutely love that. You know what it looked like? It looked like somebody that had done something wrong, that had done it wrong 100 times in practice, and he was just sick of seeing that shit. Like, just absolutely sick of it. I loved it. Absolutely loved it out of Elko.
A little passion goes a long way, I think.
Well,
And
and it's measured, right?
it
The
is.
measured anger. It's one of those things we talked about this all the time in the Army. A leader that yells all the time isn't effective. A leader that doesn't yell at all isn't effective. You have to pick and choose your battles. And I'm sure there was some emotion in it. This may not have been strategic for him to go over there and throw a chair, but he's picking and choosing his battles. What did we see with Jimbo? Every quarterback, when they're 5 yards still from coming off the field, he's 3 yards off the sideline, blowing them to pieces. And then he's getting after him on the sideline. And you don't instill any confidence in somebody when all you're doing is putting him down and braving him all the time. And I think that's where you see it's again, we're going to use this word probably all year. It's a different culture because the leadership is effective in the way that they communicate with their players. It's not all yelling, it's not all hugging, right? It's stern. There's a clear chain of command, in this program. And there will come a point where he will absolutely explode. And I love it because he doesn't always do that, right? He's not a hothead by any means, but you can tell he's passionate about it. And that's all I ask for out of coaches and players.
I mean, you see a lot of that camaraderie, especially in that locker room, like both before the game, during halftime, after the game, on the pulse. It was beautiful to watch. You definitely need to go check it out.
I
But
know. I'm getting to it. I know I gotta watch some
you're
football.
fine. I'm just highlighting that there were some very top level moments in that particular episode of the Pulse. It might be my favorite episode of the Pulse we've ever had.
Well,
And we've had some good ones.
that's the funny thing. It just everything is so much better when you win. Winning
Always.
solves everything.
Well, and winning will get you a long way down the road in terms of not just the fan support, but also your confidence, also the way you're going to conduct yourself in those future games. I mean, though, you did mention upcoming schedule here, and I do have it pulled up. And this does kind of line in with a question that was asked, which
And
was
both of us picked this preseason. We picked us to win all three of these
yes.
because it was what it's Auburn, Florida,
Mississippi State and Florida.
Mississippi State, then Florida. Okay.
Yeah, all three at home.
Well, since it's a bye week, let's jump on that real quick.
Sure.
All right. So Auburn, I think this is a TBD. I like where we're at, obviously. I don't think Auburn is as good as Notre Dame. We get them at home. Everything points to a win in this one. Let me watch them play OU.
I'm with you on that. I lean A&M victory for sure. But on the same token, I do want to see how they look going into next week. We'll see how they do against Oklahoma.
State beat Arizona State, right?
And have largely looked solid. They're 3-0.
We thought that could be a really big program win for them, right? Because at the time, I believe, was ASU ranked at the time? I
They
don't think they
were.
were. Huh?
They were ranked off of previous success from last season, but
Yeah,
ranked.
they were ranked off of Scatabu,
Yes, ranked on Scatabu.
who is amazingly fun to watch in the NFL. I don't know how long he's going to last, but big win for State. But do you believe in State? I mean, do you really? Was Arizona State a ranked team? Because I'm going to tell you right now, they're playing at Baylor this week, and if Baylor beats them, all of a sudden we're going to think that State has no wins on their, so far that are overly impressive.
Well, and the other thing to consider with Mississippi State, that will be the night game, that will be the blackout game. So people will be hyped for that.
That'll be the Rev eye patch game. So again, still leaning that way. And probably more so for that than the Auburn. And then
Florida for sure at this stage. They looked at this point, but
Billy Napier, dude, he's deer in headlights, man. I don't know if he'll be, well, and that's the thing.
he
And
may not
Billy
be
Napier
there.
is a coach. That's like a 99% win probability for me. If they have to have an interim coach or whatever. My biggest problem with that, and I wanted to talk about this, and not just to talk about Florida football, as we're not going to like dive into their program. What kind of coach are you if you leave a quarterback in to throw five interceptions? Do you know what that does to a quarterback's psyche, especially a young quarterback who, first of all, is injury prone? So I know that there's hesitation there at some point, whether he recognizes it or not. There's hesitation, with injury. But to let him a fifth turnover, like, is there literally no one behind DJ Lagway that you can't just put in? But the thing is Florida was still in the game because Florida's defense can play.
So here's the real question I think you have to ask yourself, like whether it was pulling DJ or changing your strategy a little bit. Maybe run the ball.
Yeah, if you just do something because right now
Something
you're.
else.
I mean, you got to figure after three interceptions, you're putting this on a quarterback who has no faith and ability to throw to the guys in the right jersey.
Yeah, I mean,
A
if
five pick, that's like leaving a pitcher in that plunks the bases loaded and then plunks in an RBI.
DJ almost threw 50 passes in this game. 30, 33 completed. Well, 38 completed if you count the five picks. But, the guy
But no
threw
sharp hands.
so many passes. I mean, you only had 27 carries in the game.
Yeah, Le'Veon Moss had 20 by himself.
Yeah, and they only had 27 for 79 yards. Yo, I mean, they didn't commit to the run at all.
No, and they've got to. And obviously, this goes without saying, but if for some reason you're watching this, you don't know much about football. In any offense, but especially one with a younger quarterback and one that is throwing to the wrong team in the current game, the running game protects the quarterback and it protects the passing game. If you're not running, you're posing no threat, and they can just load up in the secondary and laugh when all you do is throw picks. Five picks, man. So
Nuts
it,
up.
yeah, I don't think Napier's going to be the coach. So I'm still leaning Florida.
Okay. I think that's a solid pivot into our picks from last week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Let's get into them right quick. I still got a couple of questions, but
Yes.
we'll backload them.
Yeah, we got some questions.
All right. Last week you went 3-2, and you were happy to eat the crow on the Notre Dame. You said it, so absolutely. We
Okay.
all called Georgia Tech. Man, Dabo's in a bad way. Whoa. It's fascinating to watch anytime he loses a game, how quickly he turns on the press.
And
And, go ahead.
looking at Georgia Tech, okay, they should have won this game by a lot more.
Yes, absolutely.
They got stopped on fourth down in the red zone too many times. They had too many little things here and there that largely kept Clemson in this game.
Clemson's not a good football team.
They're not a good football team.
I was wrong. I was wrong. I
I
thought
was
Clemson
wrong.
would be a good football team.
We both picked Clemson to beat LSU because we thought Clemson was going to be something.
Clemson was a 4-point favorite in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clemson is not good.
Clemson no
Bam.
good.
I don't know what's going on there. Next San
Josh Pate made a really good point. I'll tell you what one of the biggest issues with Clemson is right now. They haven't largely gone after the portal for need.
They don't. Yeah,
They don't
that's
do
like
that.
the Dabo thing.
Yeah, Dabo refuses to utilize the portal, and unfortunately, they're missing out on some key pieces they might need, and it's hurting them.
Absolutely. And speaking of tirades at a press conference, Brian Kelly, bad day to be a reporter, man.
Mean, don't get me wrong. I think
Pulling the Schlossnagel. Yeah.
a lot of bit.
All right. Next one, we both donked. We both picked USF to upset Miami. So I'm going to go back to what I was saying. I think Miami's a good football team. I do.
Well, we both picked them to make the spread. They did
Oh, that's right.
not. Yeah, we both picked the spread on that one, and they did not cover the
No, they didn't cover the spread.
spread.
Not at all. 17 and a half, not covered.
Miami good.
Yeah, Miami's good.
Miami
Absolutely good.
good.
I don't think USF was just one of those propped up darlings. I think USF is going to be
I
kind of
do.
that princess, power or group of five, group of six, whatever it's called.
I'd argue Miami's top three team right now. I know they're ranked whatever, like fifth or fourth or whatever, but they're top three for me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Next one, Vandy at South Carolina. Lenore Sellers gets hurt, but
Yeah.
I don't think that matters. I don't think that mattered at all. Vandy looked good. That's weird saying that. So, oh, you know
Yeah.
what? I got it wrong. You got that one wrong.
I did get that one wrong.
And two. So you went 2-3
I went two
instead.
and three. I was about to say, I was like 3-2. I was like, in my head, I know I lost more than
Yeah, that's right.
that.
We both picked Ole Miss to beat Arkansas.
Yeah. Good. I mean, Arkansas put up a fight, but
Yeah,
again, they
but
won.
in Oxford, maybe if that's in Fayetteville, it goes the other way, or it's a little tighter. And
Hey,
then I picked
maybe don't
Jags.
give up 24 points in the second quarter.
Yeah,
Might help you.
You pick Notre Dame, I pick the Aggs. So you are now 8-9, and I am 10-7. So creating
Yeah.
some separation.
For now,
All
don't you
right.
worry.
Oh no, I'll screw this up. Okay, so there's not a lot of great games. There are a couple of good games, so I was literally looking at the lines. Yeah, there's what, three top 25 matchups.
Yeah.
So we'll start with this first one. Tech going on the road to Utah. Tech is 17. Utah is 16. Utah is a 2.5 point favorite at home, which means this game is a coin flip. Utah's been good lately. Like,
Utah's been good.
as a program.
Tech's been good.
Tech
This.
is surprising this year. Well, maybe they're not that surprising just because what they did in the portal. I think this is an entertaining game, if nothing else. But I think Tech gets exposed this week because they haven't played anybody. Running up huge numbers on, the Little Sisters of the Poor is not impressive. So
No.
I'm going to take Utah. Part of that is I like Utah, and the other part is I don't like Texas Tech. I like Utah as a program. I'm not talking about the state.
Fair. Yeah, it's having visited Utah over the summer, it's a little bland.
Bland.
The entire Salt Lake City, like metro, is a watered down version of Denver. That's all it is. At least that was kind of my flavor of it. I mean, don't get me wrong, nice people in certain areas, but yeah, a little whatever. As far as the actual game is concerned, I'm kind of with you on that. I mean, the reality is Tech, once again, they haven't really played anybody, but I think this is a wait and show me for Tech. Meanwhile, I think Utah, with it being at home, having everything looking their way, I'll go Utah. So we'll see about Tech, but right now I'm going Utah.
Well, and it's elevation. There's a handful of things that go into this.
Could, yeah, could play factor.
All right, Auburn's going on the road to Norman. OU is a 7.5 point favorite in this. Auburn's number 22 in the country. OU is 11. I was surprised that this line is as big as it is.
Yeah.
But I think this one's easy. I'm gonna go OU at home.
I think OU, but I think Auburn might cover. I think they might keep it tight.
I mean, I hope it's an entertaining game just because I'm gonna be
Me
watching.
too, but
So you're gonna take OU?
Boomer Sooner.
Boomer Sooner. Another top 25 matchup between two teams I don't really know anything about. I think I know something about one of them, but this is number 9. Illinois goes on the road to number 19, Indiana. Indiana is a 6.5 point favorite. They're ranked 19th, and Illinois is ranked 9th, and they are a 6.5 point favorite at home. The number 9 team in the country is a touchdown dog.
Yeah. Well, and
See, what I thought I knew is I thought Illinois was good. Like, I think Illinois is a good team. I'm not saying they're gangbusters or anything, but I think Illinois is a good team.
they haven't given up more than 20 points in a game so far this year. Their one big win being over Duke, which we've established is not a bad football program ever since Elko left. We think it's a solid program. But that being said, yeah, and then you got Indiana.
I just don't know anything about Indiana. I mean, who have they played?
They've played Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, and Indiana State. Three scrubs.
Those are scrubs.
Yeah. Well,
Like
and
that is like extra frosting on the cupcake kind of.
you gotta make a slight detour for half a second. What on earth happened to Virginia Tech?
Oh my gosh.
What, Old Dominion didn't beat them. Old Dominion trounced them at their stadium. Fired their
Yeah.
coach the next day.
I don't have any. I'm speechless. I have no idea what's going on at Virginia Tech.
If I went to Virginia Tech, it's been kind of circling around on Twitter. I completely agree with the sentiment. Do you know who they should hire? Jimbo Fisher. I think they could benefit from that. That's an
You know
established
how
name
Mike.
coach going back to the ACC in a program that has a lot of things put together that could be a very good football program. We saw that throughout the 2000s. Virginia Tech, not a bad program.
Yeah.
Might be worth looking into, Jimbo, if you're listening to our podcast.
Sure he is.
Oh, I'm sure he's just
Q
loving
knows
the idea of an
that
A&M
Johnny gave you
podcast.
all the money to his ear.
He's gonna be like, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna take an upset. I'm gonna take it there. Well, upset by the lot, by the way, Vegas. I'm gonna take Illinois.
Okay. Oh,
I'll take the
you are taking Illinois.
Fighting Illini.
Okay.
A touchdown dog.
This one's a tough one for me. You know what? I'm gonna go Indiana.
All right.
Let's create a little separation. Who's your daddy? Plus, with it being in Bloomington, first real test for this number 9 team that's largely been riding off of what they did at the end of the year last year. We'll see.
So is Indiana.
True, not incorrect.
This could be a really great game because they're both imposters.
It could be. I'm hoping that it's a good game. That's the most important.
The imposterable.
And
All
like
right, next I've
Boston.
got so this is kind of a big one, even though it's only one of the teams are ranked. I've got Michigan, number 21, Michigan going on the road to Nebraska. Michigan is a 1.5 point favorite on the road. I think the Michigan quarterback is really bad.
Yeah.
Bryce Underwood. His stats are atrocious.
Yeah, I hadn't really looked into this matchup. I mean, I think it's a sneaky, interesting matchup for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I pulled it because one, I think it can be a sneaky good game, and two, a 1.5 point line. Like, I'm here for it. I'm not a big Matt Rhule fan.
Yeah.
But Nebraska is undefeated, right?
At this stage,
Yeah, Nebraska's 3-0. Michigan's 2-1.
doing one.
Who'd they lose to?
Michigan lost to Oklahoma last week or 2 weeks
Oklahoma.
ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. And my brain's not working.
2 weeks ago.
This is a tough one.
It is a tough one. I will lean. I'll lean Nebraska on this one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's so close, but yeah, I'm gonna kind of lean towards Mahomes 2.0. We'll see what he does.
Dylan Raiola. What a
Okay,
dweeb, dude. What a straight dweeb. No, I'm gonna go Michigan in this one
cool. Little extra
because
separation.
they're 2-1 despite Bryce Underwood. So if he can even put together half a performance,
Sure.
I like Michigan on the road.
Yeah, we'll see how that one plays.
All right. For the last pick,
Yeah, what was yeah, I'd be curious about your last
I was
pick.
sorting through the conferences just looking for a close line, and I landed on the American Conference. North Texas going to Mikey Stadium to play the Mighty Army. The brave old Army team. North Texas is a 1.5 point favorite. Don't forget, Army went on the road to the Little Apple and beat Kansas State, who might not be that good, but I tell you right now, the roster on Kansas State is about three times the talent of the roster at Army. Army wins with grit. That's what Army does. Army wins with grit and they wear you down. My mother went to North Texas. She doesn't listen to this, so I don't have to apologize to her. I'm obviously taking Army.
This one's interesting for you because you have Army who lost to Tarleton, turns around, gets a win at Kansas State. That's a big win. It's a big win, no question. Ooh, this is a toughie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a coin flip game.
A coin flip game. I'll go Army.
That's, I mean, the thing they really do have in their favor, honestly, is just they wear you down.
Yes.
And when you play these lesser opponents, like a North Texas, like it's not a Big 12 team, it's not an SEC team. You're playing OU and Norman, which that was such a fun game. They almost won a couple years back.
I'm going to throw in a sne like not a pick, but a sneaky keep your eye on it game. Tulane at Ole Miss.
I saw that. I consider putting it in, but the spread's pretty big.
That's an old SEC rivalry from back in the day. You've got yourself Tulane, who is off of three solid wins to start their season. I mean, you took care of business against Northwestern. You squeak by South Alabama on the road. But then you take down Duke, and you're feeling all right. Ole
What?
Miss wins this game.
Ole Miss wins, but I think what's the line?
It's
I'm
like
excited.
13 and a half.
Yeah, I think Tulane could cover.
They
I would
might.
in no way pick them to win that game.
No.
Worst conference
But
realignment decision ever. Tulane leaving the SEC.
them, Georgia Tech, and who was the third team that left the SEC? Do you know? There were three former members. One is Tulane. One is Georgia Tech. Who's the third?
I don't know.
Sewanee.
Oh, yeah.
The Sewanee Tigers, who are now D3.
Yeah.
They man, like that's like something that Vanderbilt can at least hold on to, right?
Yeah,
It's like
this is
we
true.
held out.
Well, we're never getting rid of Vanderbilt because they're great at baseball.
They're great at baseball and I mean women's bowling, they're a freaking dynasty, man. You
Well,
gotta keep that.
and they bring the GPA of the SEC up substantially.
No doubt.
All right,
Sorry about you, Mississippi State. We'll cover that in a couple of weeks. Don't you worry. Yeah, but overall, I mean, yeah, not the most heated of weeks, but still some fun matchups coming up. Plenty of downtime to enjoy it. I love a good weekend where we don't have to sit back and worry about anything. Maybe Texas will actually cover their spread against Sam Houston this week. We'll see.
I can't wait to see Arch Manning bounce some passes in.
Man, I don't even know. Like, we were watching, so I'll kind of highlight what all happened with our day on Saturday. So we're out in Bernie getting ready to go play this show, and it's at a barbecue joint, no big deal. But we get out there to play. And while we're out there jamming ahead of time, we come out, go and get some food. And the Texas UTEP game's on. We're watching it, and all of us are glued to the TV, like right at the end of the first half. Yeah, they end up scoring that touchdown, but it's 7-3. And you're watching Arch Manning throw the ball, and you ask yourself a question, huh? What's going on? Is it a mental thing? Is he actually hurt? Did we get some false
Look,
narratives from last season? Like, what happened?
I don't think he's hurt. I don't think he could beat out Quinn Ewers. And I think his mechanics are terrible. I think he sat around for 2 years in the program and twiddled his thumbs and didn't do anything to improve himself. And the flip side of that is his coaches aren't doing him any favors, and they didn't. Where was the development in 2 years? The tape looks the exact same as when he was running around with a bunch of eighth graders, and 3A football and private school football in high school. I just think he's a bad quarterback.
Very well may be.
I don't think he's hurt. If he's hurt, then the Mannings will probably end up suing Steve Sarkisian.
I mean, if that was the
I
case,
don't
yeah.
think he's hurt. I just don't think he's very good. I think his mechanics are terrible.
Yeah.
He just looks lost out there, which I'm totally fine with.
I mean, doesn't hurt my feelings none,
I don't know what you mean.
especially with our schedule coming up. So looking at some questions. Now, I know you said you had a couple that you wanted to bring to the table. Do you want to jump into ours, or do we want to go ahead and ask your questions?
We'll answer the questions that we got, and then we'll do mine, because if they're
Okay.
like question discussions, we can close it up with mine.
All right, cool. So, Komodo Dragon Lizard Hominoid, he asked, possible redo of the season outlook.
I mean, I had us at 10-2, 7-1 in conference. So if you want me to, I don't know that I'm not moving off mine because I was pretty optimistic. I think he might have been talking more about you.
He very well may be talking about me, and the reality is
Yeah, because you were eight
we're
or
eight and
five
four
in
until we're
conference.
not.
Yeah, you
So
had.
if we're getting into the later stages of this season, let's say we're rolling into the Missouri game and we've won, we haven't lost yet. Obviously, that's going to have to change for
Yeah, because
me.
well, obviously both of us had the Notre Dame game as a loss, and then you had
Texas
Arkansas
and
and
LSU.
LSU. You had Arkansas and LSU as losses. I only had LSU. And then, of course, we didn't know Missouri was going to be humming like they are. We both had those. And then we had the next three as wins. And then you also picked to lose the Texas game, and I picked them to win. So I've got us losing to LSU 7-1 in conference, 10-2. So I'm sticking where I'm at.
And that's great. And you're more than welcome to stay there. I think that's perfectly fine. I'm going to stay on mine for now because the reality is, season outlook preseason does not dictate how we operate as the season continues to progress, right? I mean, things change. Outlooks of teams change.
Unless you said we're 8-4 until we're not, so.
Exactly. And at this moment, we're 3-0. Great start. Love that. Big win on the road at Notre Dame. Huge. But you have to get through November. You have to get through October this year. I mean, October this year is going to be tough for
Yeah.
us. If you can get through October, November, and you're clean, you can survive a whole season. Yeah, you'll change my outlook. You absolutely will. But, okay. Jonna said, reaction. I don't think Roy has ever hugged me that hard. What are your thoughts for the rest of the schedule? Thoughts on Reed making his way onto the Heisman watch list? Of course, I have nerdy questions, but that's another time or place, maybe breakfast soon. Totally fine with doing breakfast at some point if we can find a window to do it.
So, what was the first question?
So it's more, what are your thoughts on the rest of the schedule? Which kind of lines up with what we were talking about.
Yeah, we just kind of covered that. And the second one was about Reed being in the Heisman stuff.
Reed being on the Heisman watch. And I mean, he's doing his job.
He's 3-0. He's got great stats. He's got a signature win on the road.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it. The only problem I have with it is the same problem I have with preseason rankings. Preseason Heisman rankings are stupid too.
Oh, no question.
And I like that I'm seeing more and more of these kind of individuals like Pat McAfee and Josh Pate. This is my Heisman list because this is what I have seen with my own eyes. No bias from before the season started. This is what I've seen with my own eyes. So these are my favorites. And that's how that's how it needs to be done anyways. But the top 20 preseason rankings are we could do a whole podcast on how much I hate those.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's well deserved. I don't think it's never a bad thing. Man, if you got a quarterback that's even in the Heisman discussion at all, and your team is doing well, because that's basically it's a quarterback award. Now, could you make the case that Mario Craver should be on there?
You could.
Close, but it being really a quarterback award, my thing is if he wanted to really be in the Heisman discussion, he'd have to be returning punts or something, right? It's like what Charles Woodson did it, great defense, but then also was returning kicks and punts. So I think it takes a little bit more, but he's absolutely, that's Biletnikoff stuff is what you're talking about with what Kramer's doing. I mean, leading receiver in the nation. First time since Mike Evans. Unbelievable.
Good for him. I'm very happy for him.
I'm
Will
happy
I?
for us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Will I am Whiskey Tex on X Twitter said, my biggest cue for the team is how do you fix issues caused by the lack of focus and consistency? Shanked punts, blocked punt, dumb penalties, pre-snap penalties, lack of consistent effort. Who is going to change the culture and hold others accountable besides throwing chair coaches?
I'm not seeing a lack of effort. Like that's I'm not seeing that. As far as just penalties are one of those things where obviously, I mean, generally it's mental, right? More often than not, especially any pre-snap penalty is mental. That's all it is. It's discipline and it's mental. Within play penalties, sometimes it's mental, sometimes you just get beat. That kind of feeds into, something I was just kind of looking at, is this how we're just going to play? We're just going to survive it this year, or can this be remedied? A lot of that can be remedied, quite
It
frankly, and
can, yeah.
it can be remedied pretty quickly. So I think what we saw was a bit of a blip, more so, because it just seemed like everything was a mistake, right? You had problems with punt coverage, had problems with penalties, had problems with pre-snap penalties. I mean, I trust it to get fixed. I mean, we've got a great punter. I mean, things happen. It's certainly none of this was on purpose, and I don't think anything had to do with effort. I think this was more in between the ears kind of stuff. And so, I'll reserve judgment on discipline, until I see another game or two. And if we play Auburn, we have a dozen penalties, and then we rack up another 10 penalties the next game, then
That'll
it's
be a problem.
then it's a, then it is a legit problem that. That you may not be able to address. You may just have to overcome it.
So that was kind of it on the questions. I did see something that came out an hour ago from Fox College Football. So RG3 put out his current Heisman rankings. He has Marcell Reed number one, and he has Mario Craver number seven.
He loves Marcel Reed.
Yeah, he's a
Loves
big fan. And he's
him. Yeah.
got Carson Beck behind him, and then, Tommy Castellanos from Florida State, Soy Robertson from Baylor, Baron Morton from Tech, and then just kind of it's mostly quarterbacks on that list.
Yeah, I
But
mean it's a quarterback award. It stinks that it is, but it is.
it, I mean, that's what it's
Especially,
become.
it's well, especially in the world of football we live in now, where these offenses are so high octane. You don't have a Barry Sanders. You're not straddling some dude with 35 carries a game. So it's I mean, a lot of that is just a product of what the game has become, I think, honestly.
You're right.
All right, I got a couple for you, just little discussion points, and then we can close this out.
Cool.
All right, Mario Craver is obviously a dude, right?
He's a dude.
Obviously, a dude. Do you think he'll be as good as Mike Evans?
It's tough to say.
It's,
I
I know
think
it's a
he
little early to ask these questions, but I mean, is he going to be the best receiver since Mike Evans?
I think between him and KC Concepcion, I think between those two guys, you're getting such great options. The reality is, I think it goes back to what we were talking about previous, where if you look at Johnny Manziel's era, whenever he was here, 2012, 2013, he did have Mike Evans as his primary go-to guy for good reason. I mean, guy's big, he's tall, he's fast, physical. I mean, that was the beauty of Mike Evans. He could just bully you off the ball to get a catch and did it multiple times for incredible plays. But you had great supporting cast around him too, like Ryan Swopes and Miles Kennedy and so many other great wide receivers in that core at that point. But largely the focus was largely on Mike Evans for good reason. And I think between him and Craver, between Craver and Concepcion, one of these two guys is going to continue to keep cruising. I mean, hell, both. I really hope they both continue to do it. I think they're both going to contribute to how far this team can go. I don't know if he's going to be as good as Mike Evans, but I think he could be very, very good for this team.
Right on. I just, for me, it's just, I don't know. The jury's still out. If defenses start being on him, we have so many other weapons. But man, 207 yards in a game is, that's video game stuff.
Well, you get 207 yards receiving. And then you had your other boy, Casey, who's over here getting damn near 100 by himself. And if you can really start keying off and making them focus on the passing game, you can open up the door for Le'Veon Moss to start running. You get Reuben Owens out there. You can get Terry Bussey getting him involved. That's the beauty of having a dynamic offense with a lot of good players and good options to work with.
And kudos to Colin Klein. I thought he called a really, really good game. You score 41 points, you called a good game.
I know we've talked a lot of hell about him, especially last season with how much he struggled, but it certainly seems like he's turning it on this year, and I'm happy to see that.
Well, you almost wonder, remember when they were talking about how, defensively they had to scheme because they were making up for weaknesses. You almost wonder, because I mean, think of the weapons we have this year as opposed to last year on offense. Did he really have to scheme to make up for the fact that we didn't have near the talent that we do now?
He may have.
It's that's I mean, that's part of it. Offensive coordinator has to know who he can trust and who can actually do what he's asking them to do. So maybe it's the combination of his development as an offensive play caller, but also, that plus injecting just raw talent. And, well, not raw, it's kind
Talent.
of refined. All right. Last one, then we'll get out of here. All right, we just saw A&M give up 40 points and win the game. Can we sustain that in an SEC conference where, or like in conference games, the SEC conference, Southeastern Conference conference, where teams are going to force you to win ugly? Do you think we have the offensive like tools to win ugly?
We could. I mean, I'm getting 2013 vibes. Both good and bad. Feels like we don't like we've done well, against those lesser opponents, but even so, you gave up 20 plus in both of those games, and now you've given up 40 in your other matchup that you've had. You haven't largely had a statistically dominant defensive performance yet.
I don't mind the first two games. I mean, again, those are some good third stringers that backdoor covers, that kind of stuff.
I get that. But you
But yeah,
get
it's
you
just curious. It's something like that. I mean, it's you got to be balanced in the SEC. You're not. This isn't. It's not the Big 12. You're not going to go out there and be in a lot of 60 to 55 games. So
I
while
think.
I think the passing game is dynamic enough to keep up, I just don't want to be in that situation.
No, I think what will benefit this team in terms of being able to win games despite poor defensive performance is going to come down to key stops when you need them. Get those key stops and consistently attack on the offensive side of the ball. Make those opportunities. Don't give them a chance to catch back up with you. Don't end up in a situation like we did in Notre Dame where you're immediately in the hole. Get out in front of them, stay ahead of them.
Well, we know just how much of a grind it is in the SEC, and a lot of that's just because of the line play. My thing is, we couldn't get off the field against Notre Dame. They convert a lot of third downs,
They did.
and so that's kind of a real key. I mean, there's no one statistic that will tell you any like tell you everything, but getting off the field on third down is important. That long drive that Notre Dame put together, like 6.5 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, down and distance. I think you gotta keep them backed up. I'm thinking long third down attempts, force them into low percentage plays, deeper passes, that kind of deal. Create opportunities. And a big one, because you did get one in the game, but I think you need more. Get on the turnover game. Start getting after the ball on the defensive side. Force it away. I don't care if it's an interception. I don't care if you're having to strip it from the guy. I don't care if you're having to strip it from the quarterback as you're sacking. But get that ball out. Create opportunities for your offense to go out there and do their job.
Even, I mean, honestly, even if it's not creating turnovers, just get off the field.
Get off the field.
Because
Huge.
it's get your offense out of rhythm because they're just sitting there and waiting. It takes a toll on you defensively. Especially if you have multiple drives like that throughout a game, it just wears down on you. So,
Sure
all
does.
right.
Yes, so that's about what we have for you guys this week. Be sure to follow us on our socials. That's gonna be Roy May 15 on X, Roy May 15 or Roy May Jr. on Instagram. Of course, Rob the Slapper on both X and Instagram. Be sure to follow the Red Ass Podcast too. Give us a like, give us a comment on YouTube, get a comment on our videos on Instagram, comment below the video on Twitter X. I don't care. Just interact. Show us who you're out there. Say hi. We appreciate y'all listening. It's great.
Always open for questions.
Always open for questions. And as we've proven time again, I was hoping for more this week about some less football related questions because it's bye week. We got time. But fire in your questions as you see fit. We do appreciate you guys doing that so much. And be sure to like, subscribe on YouTube. Hit that little bell so you know whenever we're uploading and all that fun jazz. But I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Thank you. Take care. Beat the ever-living hell out of the bye week, and we'll see y'all next week.
Yeah.